This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. Gracious God, as we acknowledge Christ as our Lord and Savior, the cornerstone of our faith, may we seek to move beyond faith with lives truly devoted to your service. May we surrender our excuses and truly trust in your grace that it will lead to a perfect freedom and a more abundant life. Amen. Good morning. I believe that there is at least a few of us, if not the majority of us this morning, who are thinking this way. You know, I'm really not a bad person. I truly am a good person. You see, I'm polite and I'm kind. I don't abuse my wife, my children, my friends, or pets. I don't steal or cheat from work or with my taxes. I have never been arrested. I don't have a criminal record. I cut my grass. I take care of my property, even lend a helping hand once in a while to a neighbor. And if that's not enough, I may even add, I'm a regular church attender, and I often give to charitable causes. So you see, I'm a pretty good person. In fact, a good Christian person. And because I am, I know that Jesus does not ask me to do anything more than what I'm already doing now. After all, we know that Jesus is busy with those other troublesome persons who have gone astray. You know the types, the thieves, the prostitutes, the robbers, the drug dealers, the white-collar criminals, the derelicts, the child molesters. I live a pretty good life, which I feel amounts to an insurance policy with Jesus, because Jesus does not need to stick his nose into my business because I'm doing pretty good now. In fact, if anything, maybe he wants to write me a thank you note for my good behavior. Sound familiar? If we, I believe, truly are honest with ourselves, there are aspects of those excuses that we ourselves make. But in light of what we read this morning from scriptures, we see and we discover that this thinking is the antithesis, the opposite of what the scriptures are revealing. We have been caught, just like the characters in the gospel reading this morning. Both the Old Testament and the gospel reading from Luke speak about what it means to be a true disciple, to be a true follower. It's not just about having faith. It's about living the faith as God wills it for us. Now, what we discover is that Jesus is about something more than just improving bad people's behavior. What truly interests Jesus is much more personal. He wants all people, regardless of our behavior, to become and to live as true disciples doing God's work. Perhaps the first hearers of Jesus' responses, as we read in Luke's gospel this morning, as they heard those words, they were reminded of stories from their own scripture, as we have a portion this morning with the reading from 2 Kings with Elisha and Elijah. Now, I know those two names can be very, very confusing to us. Elijah is the older man who is the prophet. Elisha, or Elisha, as some may also pronounce it, is the younger one who is asked to follow. And Elisha said that he would do so, but first he asks for permission from the prophet to go and say farewell to his family. The real point of this Old Testament story, however, comes in the next story. When Elijah called him, does anybody remember what Elisha was doing? He was plowing the field with a yoke of oxen. And so, as a way to demonstrate his commitment to the prophet Elijah and to God, what he does is that he sacrifices those oxen. He kills the oxen, burns the yoke to create a fire, roasts the meat, and serves a dinner party to the neighbors. It is a way to show that he cannot return to the life he previously knew in farming. He no longer has oxen, and no longer does he have the yoke. He is throwing everything away to show his commitment to the prophet Elijah and to God. He is showing the depth and the seriousness of that commitment. What Jesus is telling us, my brothers and sisters, in our gospel this morning, he's telling us about that kind of commitment. He wants his disciples to be about a no turning back commitment. He wants a few committed disciples, not a bunch of half disciples. Sometimes for us to serve as disciples means a radical change in our behavior, the transformation of a person. I mean, after all, that's the dramatic stuff of real dramatic conversions. Stories about murderers and drug dealers and gang leaders who suddenly find faith and turn their life completely around to follow Jesus. Here we know that Jesus takes the priority over life, over all the worst of human circumstances. And perhaps he would be saying, drop the gun and drop the violence and lift high the cross. But for other persons answering the call to discipleship, it means often setting aside what is good, at least that which is legal and respectable. It may be the parent, the business person, or the professional who suddenly realizes they need to change their life because their previous life has been one of self-serving, of materialism, of oriented themselves to pleasure or self-gain. Jesus shows that his priority is not just over the worst of human beings, but over each and every one of us. And what he may be saying is, drop the golf clubs and the extravagant living and lift high the cross. In today's gospel reading, what Jesus is about is interviewing candidates for discipleship. And Luke offers several illustrations where Jesus encounters individuals to become followers, but for whatever reason, they are inhibited in that ability to follow through. What's going on here has a lot of details that I don't need to get into, but the basic point is this. As Martin Luther, the Reformer, would so beautifully say, the point is, a religion that gives nothing, that costs nothing, that suffers nothing, is worth nothing. In these encounters, contrary to what we may think, Jesus is respecting and honoring marriage and friendships and family and the importance of children. But he does not make an idol out of them. Family and relationships and friendships, Jesus basically, his stand is that they fall or stand, whether or not they promote or hinder discipleship. Jesus may call us out of the wreckage of our lives, or may be calling us away from what we think is good or the great American way to follow. In either case, he's inviting us to a deeper allegiance to himself. He wants to break down all of our addictions. He wants us to know true and perfect freedom. And so he calls us and invites us to follow God's will. He wants us to follow to Jerusalem, to the cross, and to what lies beyond. No matter who we are, we do come up with the excuses, don't we? And some of those excuses from time to time seem profound and moral. But what we often may call love or duty, sometimes Jesus reveals to us, may be the voice of addiction or evil speaking, or the fear for us to move into a better future, or the refusal to die to find true life. We may not want to stop our dependence on material things. After all, if we stop, we may end up being thankful for the simple things in life. If we focus on God all the time, we may find that we want to depend on Him rather than going shopping. It's very unsettling for us in our modern Western culture, a consumer society, to follow Christ. But perhaps the most dangerous addiction doesn't have anything to do with our fantasy about material things or what we want our families to be all about. The addiction that is real dangerous is our desire to cling to cheap religion. That is, Christianity without the cross. You see, we have a tendency to want to create this friendly, loving, sweet Jesus who has no wounds. We don't want to suffer. We don't want to experience pain. We don't want to have to travel through all of that negative stuff to find true life. And so it's easy to make excuses, isn't it? Every one of us, when Jesus calls upon us, has an excuse. Whether we are living an immoral life where we take advantage of others, or we are addicted to material things, or we idolize our family, enabling them to do things, or we are clinging to a cheap religion, Christianity without the cross, we have an excuse. But my brothers and sisters, the good news that we have from our Lord this day is that Jesus continues to call us. Jesus continues to offer us opportunities to respond and to answer. What makes people faithful is not freedom from making excuses or complete deliverance from our addictions. But instead, it is a living realization that God is bigger than all these boogeymen that haunt us with excuses. The voice of God is stronger and is always there to reach out and lead us. Allow me to give an illustration from an incident about 60 years ago. There was a man named Clarence Jordan from Americus, Georgia. He was the leader of the Koinonia camp, an inter-religious and interracial religious community in a time and place when such interracial relationships were forbidden and not welcome. It stirred great controversy. Yet, they had a great deal of power. Now, early in the 1950s, Clarence went to a brother named Robert, his brother, to represent the Koinonia farm, because the brother was a lawyer. The brother had great aspirations. In fact, eventually he became the judge of the Supreme Court for the state of Georgia. So he went to his brother and says, "Robert, you need to represent us." And Robert goes, "I can't. I can't do that. I'll lose my job. I'll lose my family. I will lose everything." And Clarence responds, "But we may lose everything too, Robert. We need your help. Well, what difference does it make? He asked his brother. And Clarence says, why is it different? If you remember, it seems to me that when we were young boys, it was on that same Sunday morning that you and I responded to the call of the preacher, and we were both asked the same question. I know when I went forward and the minister said, do you believe in Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior? I said, yes, I do. So what did you say, Robert? Well, Clarence responded to the brother, I do follow Jesus up to a point. Could that point by chance be the cross? Asked Clarence. That's right, said Robert. I follow Jesus to the cross, but not on the cross. I am not going to get myself crucified. Then you are not a disciple, said Clarence. You are an admirer of Jesus, not a disciple. You need to go back to our church and you need to tell them that you are an admirer, not a disciple. Well, said Robert, if I would do that, and everyone else did that, then we wouldn't have a church. And to that, Clarence responded with a question, Robert, is do you have a church? Jesus says, follow me. And a little later, he says, don't expect to find a comfortable place to sleep. And then he says, don't look back, but it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. The life we are called to is not an easy life, but it is a life filled with wonder and blessings. At the close of life, the question will be for us not how much have you gotten, but how much have you given? The question will not be, how much have you won? But how much have you done? The question will not be, how much of you have saved? But rather, how much have you sacrificed? The question will be, how much have you loved and served? Not how much have you been honored? On this weekend, as we celebrate our freedom as a nation, may we be more willing than ever to respond to Christ's call to freedom. Not just to believe, but to truly follow him who is the source of perfect freedom and perfect joy. The life and freedom that only God can give. For us now and forevermore. Amen.